Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of an in-committee item. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have any such interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging off from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. Proceedings in the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via the instant messenger feature so that we are aware that this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. And guys, can I ask this evening, just as we do have both, that everybody uses, even if you're in the Council chambers, use the chat function as well, please. So we're here at our February full council meeting, and just another mental health topic for the month. And apologies.
Councillor Brown, Chair. Sorry, apologies for Councillor Brown, Chair. Thank you.
And Michael Lipset.
Okay, so like I said, we just have our mental health topic for February, and it's to do with mental health and behavioural disorders in our children and young people. So during my time as Chair, I have had the absolute privilege of meeting some of the most amazing groups across the district. And a couple of such groups are those who support families of children who suffer with mental health and behavioural disorders, from attention deficit, hyperactivity disorder, autism, anxiety disorders and eating disorders, just to name but a few. And we're so lucky that we have a number of those support services very close to us. But unfortunately, it's a very familiar story that they lack funding, resources and are stretched to their very limits. An example is the ADHD hub in Newcastle, which I know many of us are aware of, and the Dunpatrick Autism Family Support Services. These are just two of such services that are providing priceless support to our local families. But unfortunately, these groups are surviving month to month. They're fighting for resources, relying on short-term grants and struggling for facilities. So I'm asking everyone in the chamber here tonight to lobby the health department, local council, ourselves, meet the groups and raise awareness and do whatever you can to support. It might be something as simple as going for a coffee in the ADHD hub in Newcastle. So, folks, I know we have a heavy agenda tonight, so I'm going to move on to item number two, which is our declarations of interest. And just first, I would need to declare an interest on item number 27, which is the notice of motion on the ports, as I sit on the Warren Point Harbour Authority. Councillor McKevitt.
I'm also declaring interest as a member of Warren Point Board on item 27.
Okay. Sorry, Councillor Hannah.
Yeah, I would like yourself and Kieran, Cathy there. I'm on the Warren Point Harbour Authority, so I'd have to declare and understand too.
Okay, thanks, Glenn. Okay, so we'll move on to item number three, which is the action sheet arising from the council meeting held on the 10th of January 2022. Page by page is page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4 and page 5. Can I get a proposer and seconder for accuracy? Proposed by Councillor Kern and seconded by Councillor Andrews. Thank you very much. And any matters arising? Okay, so we'll move on to item number 4, which is to set the district rate for the financial year 2022-2023 as required under the Section 3 of the Local Government Finance Act 2011, as amended by the Local Government Capital Finance and Accounting Coronavirus Amendment Regulations 2021. And I'll hand over to Marie.
Yeah, Chair, thank you. Chair, I'm not going to read the paper verbatim, but just to highlight to members that detailed estimates have been formulated, presented and scrutinised by members prior to the Strategic Finance Working Group meetings. These have taken into account past outturn, current spending plans and likely future demand and pressures. I'm satisfied that the estimates presented, subject to the significant uncertainties set out at 2.1 above in the paper, should provide adequate financial resources to support the running costs of the Council for 2022-2023. I'm also content that the current reserves held by the Council are adequate to meet the medium-term financial commitments of Newry, Mourne and Down District Council. I would therefore refer members to the recommendations contained at 3.1 within the report and ask the committee to approve an increase in the district rate for 22-23 of 1.95% based on an estimated penny product of 2,567,939, meaning a non-domestic rate of 24.9209 pence and a domestic rate of 0.4224 pence. I would also put the recommendations 2-7 to the committee.
Thanks, Marie. And we've got a proposer in Councillor Murray and a seconder in Councillor Walker. Councillor Murray, do you want to come in?
Yep, thanks, Chair. Chair, on behalf of the Sinn Féin Group on Council, we're more than happy to propose we strike a rate of 1.95% and to approve the recommendations contained within. Sinn Féin's priority in striking the rate has always been to protect and improve public services and to strike a fair rate for workers and families. Last year, all councillors agreed to set a 3-year budget plan. This would allow us to best use ratepayers' money and to plan council finances more effectively. This is the second year of this process and it has helped us deliver a fair and consistent approach for ratepayers. We know that times are challenging for workers, families and businesses across the district. That is why I was happy to propose this fair rate for Newry, Mourne and Down District Council on behalf of the Sinn Féin Group. We believe this rate strikes the right balance between protecting our high quality frontline services, investing in our future, where possible, reducing costs to take pressure off the ratepayer. This has been another challenging year for all, with the continued impact of COVID-19 and the public health restrictions. I welcome the financial support provided by Sinn Féin Ministers Deirdre Hargey and Conor Murphy, which have been used to help mitigate the economic impact of COVID and keep the rate fair. This is part of Sinn Féin's commitment to standing up for workers and families across the North. Sinn Féin has rigorously scrutinised council finances to ensure public money is managed correctly. There are exciting times ahead for our district. And as we grow out of COVID, Sinn Féin's priority will be to advance key capital projects, protect and create jobs and improve the frontline services. And just to pay tribute to the members of the Strategic Finance Working Group who have worked diligently, not just this year, but in previous years, in scrutinising the finances as best they can and to holding everybody to account. I know in our own party, Una Hanlon and Declan Murphy keep us well appraised of where they're at and that. And I think without them, without that group, would be in a lot worse place. So more than happy to propose, Chair.
Thanks, Barra. Councillor Walker?
Chair, thank you very much. And I'm happy to second Barra's proposal in striking rate. And I want to commend the officers of this council for the hard work they put in to keep the rate at 1.95. A lot of hard work has went in, and as Barra has said, that, you know, we decided on a 3-year plan. So we did, and we kept our word in keeping the rate under 2%. So we have, so I think that is good. And what we have to realise here is that this doesn't affect our capital projects. Our capital projects are still moving forward right throughout the district, and that has to be welcomed. I've seen other councils where they're cutting back on capital projects and that, but we're not. We're still proceeding with capital projects that we have within our budgets, so that has to be welcomed. So I second the proposal.
Thanks, Councillor Walker. Councillor McAteer.
Thank you, Chair. And Chair, first of all, I just looked to my left, and I know maybe got ahead of you, but I'd like to welcome, on behalf of our group, our new Councillor for the Mourns, Michael Rice. Michael, good to see you in the chamber. Oh, and hope to be chatting to you soon. So, yes, on the subject in hand, first of all, can I thank the senior management team for doing an exceptional job under very difficult circumstances this year. While our proposed rise is well below the year-on-year rate of inflation, this is a case of what could have been possible. If the rate support grant from the Department for Communities, which is supposed to bolster the incomes of the seven poorest councils, wasn't on a downward spiral since the beginning of this Assembly's term, falling from 2.6 million to 1.1 million currently, we could have had a lower rate. If requests to the Department of Finance to pay off higher interest rates, historical loans had succeeded, we could have had a lower rate. Following the latest finance monitoring round and there being a £100 million underspend, could some of this not have been allocated to the rate support grant? There are no plans for this money to be spent as we sit here tonight. The Department of Finance state in their, it is their intention not to impose an increase to the regional rate, but nonetheless attempt to force councils into inflicting austerity through the back door. This council has an ambitious capital programme throughout the district. We are also investing heavily in frontline service delivery this year. It's our belief that the public do not want to see this cut, but we do need a radical change of direction by the Department of Communities and indeed Finance. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor McAteer. Councillor Taylor.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, could I begin by following the comments of other councillors and thanking the officers for the work that they've undertaken to get us to this point. It's certainly been a very challenging period for our council financially over the last number of years in particular. And the rates process in itself is never an easy process. There are always difficult decisions to make for us as councillors, but certainly through the guidance and assistance that we receive from officers, that makes it a lot easier job for us and gives us a better understanding as to where we are financially as a corporate body. We have, you know, encountered many problems because of COVID, and whilst there has been support offered, obviously, from central government, that has only went so far. We also face the challenge of some of those resources that we have that bring in money aren't necessarily bringing in the same level of income at this moment in time. So we have faced the challenge of trying to recover that in some way or other without impacting on the frontline services that we offer and the quality of services that we offer as a council. So where we are tonight, I think every councillor would love a zero rate, but we're not in a position to do that. We're in a situation where we've got the best deal that we possibly can, I think, you know, given the level of work that's went into this process. And, you know, certainly I hope that everybody can appreciate that, you know, going forward, and that there have been no politics played with this, because it hasn't been an easy task, and there has been a lot of meetings and a lot of discussions between ourselves as councillors and officials to get to this point. So thanks again to everybody involved, and hopefully we can move forward this year again into the new financial year with a sense of purpose and a sense of positivity, and hopefully things can be in a better shape this time next year. So thanks again to all those that have assisted in this process going forward. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Taylor. Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. And yes, I suppose I just want to start off by again thanking the officers, all the officers involved, because it's an incredibly difficult task. And I think what has been struck really is a balance of prudence, but at the same time spend on capital projects and services. And as it's been alluded to already, you know, there really are great financial uncertainties, both locally, nationally, and internationally, it seems, as well at the minute on a range of issues. So I think The work undertaken and the rate set certainly, I think, has balanced this and ameliorated this. So thank you to the officers involved. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor McMurray. Councillor Riley.
Yeah, thanks very much, Madam Chair. Yes, I would like to thank the staff also. I know it's always difficult decisions to be made, but I think it's really important, Madam Chair, that we acknowledge the huge amount of intervention and contributions financially that the HM Treasury have given over the last number of years during this COVID period, which really has helped us to keep the rates down substantially. And I think it once again demonstrates the massive benefit of Northern Ireland being part of the United Kingdom and part of the one of the biggest economies in the world. Just those very succinct benefits that come from being part of the UK. But Chairman, or Madam Chair, frontline services really need to improve. If the finances are there now for them to do their job properly, it must be state-of-the-art and reliable in terms of bin collection and recycling centres. And we must get our leisure services fully operational again, because the ratepayers are still paying their rates. And as COVID eases off now, we need to get those up and running again. But again, thanks very much to all the staff for all you do all throughout the year. And it's just great being part of this great United Kingdom. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Riley. Okay, there's no other comments, so we're all in agreement. We'll move on. Okay, so we'll move on to item number 5, which is the minutes of the Council meeting held on the 10th of January 2021. Go through page by page for accuracy. So page 1, 2, 3, 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, and page 10. Can I get a proposer and seconder for accuracy? Proposed by Councillor Stokes and seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Is there any matters arising? No? Okay. So then we can move on to item number 6, which is the minutes of the Audit Committee meeting held on the 11th of January 2022. And page by page for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, and page 10. Now I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy, proposed by Councillor McAteer.
Proposed.
And seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Any matters arising? Okay. So we'll move on to item number 7, which is the minutes of the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee meeting held on the 17th of January 2022. So page by page for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12, and page 13. The proposer and the seconder for accuracy, proposed by Councillor Burgess and seconded by Councillor Howell. Any matters arising? Oh, sorry. Okay, so seconded by Councillor Kern. Councillor Howell, you have a comment?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make that ART meeting, so I just want to make a quick comment on item number, I think it's on page 7, maybe item number 8, the small settlement regeneration plan. Just to say how delighted I am to see that both Castlelan and Dundrum are including this project. And I know that, you know, while the Council are sort of responsible for identifying the projects, I guess I just would like to hope that, you know, there will be continued good engagement with the stakeholders and the public, you know, within the small settlement, keeping them informed and included as time goes on. But just happy to see this progressing.
Thanks very much, Councillor Howell. Okay, so no other matters arising. We move on to item number 8, which is the minutes of the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 20th of January 2022. Page by page for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, and page 10. Proposer and a seconder for accuracy. So proposed by Councillor Byrne and seconded by Councillor Sharvin. Any matters arising? No. Okay, we'll move on to item number 9, which is the minutes of the Active and Healthy Communities Committee meeting held on the 24th of January 2022. So again, page by page for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, on page 11, and we have the presentation on the community trails as well. So can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy? Councillor Sharvin, you have a point of for accuracy? Are you on mute, Councillor Sharvin?
I actually am on mute. Sorry, Chair. I was talking away there. That's the first that's happened to me. Yes, sorry, Chair. On page 2, my name's spelled with an E. It should be an A. So if we could just amend that, please. Just a minor thing.
No worries, Councillor Sharvin. We'll get that sorted. Proposed by Councillor Finnegan and seconded by Councillor O'Hare. And Councillor Finnegan, you have a comment?
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, look, and I just want to say thanks a million. This has come to the final stages. If you just read through the minutes there for Cross McGlen on their acquisition of the Lismore playing fields. So this is the final stage, obviously, at ratification. So that being the case, I want to thank Paul and Michael Lipsett and Conor Haughey for bringing this to the, you know, to giving all their support. What I would ask is, could we get the lease drawn up? I know we've discussed around the lease that would be needed. I'm just asking, could we get that drawn up and sent to the football club as a matter of urgency? Because I know that, you know, just for our external funding and whatnot. Thanks.
Thanks, Aoife.
Yeah, Chair, Michael Lipsett's actually an apology this evening, but we can certainly pick that up and come back on it.
Thank you. Councillor O'Hare, you have a question?
Yes, Chair, thanks. Just like to welcome the news about the Hilltown pump track. Basically, the fourth stage will be kicking in very soon. I think there's pretty close to 13,000 being spent on the design and consultation of it. I would like to thank probably Paul and Michael for helping me out in this, and plus my Sinn Féin colleagues. I'd just like to ask Paul, any idea of the time frame when the consultation would be going on, Paul? If he's in the chamber at all.
Chair, Paul isn't on the meeting this evening. Councillor, are you okay if I pick that up with Paul tomorrow and get him to come back to you on it? Is that okay?
That's grand, Marie. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Herr. Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yeah, it was just on the item on where the chairperson of the committee the updated Warren Point Community Centre, and I must say that news is very much welcomed by locals of Warren Point, enabling 6 to 9 months to be taken off the programme, and I hope that consultant will be formally appointed the next week. That is tremendous news, really, because it's been knocked about for quite many years now, and it's great to see that for a change things are actually happening quicker, more than later in public construction, etc. So I welcome that very much, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, Councillor McAteer. And so no other matters arising, so we'll move on to item number 10, which is the minutes of the special Active and Healthy Communities meeting held on the 13th of January 2021. And page by page is page 1 and page 2. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy? Valerie, you have a point for accuracy?
Yeah, just I am down as being in attendance and at that meeting. I actually wasn't at that meeting.
Okay, we'll get that rectified on the minute. Proposed by Councillor O'Murray. I'm going to get a seconder, please.
I second that, Charlie. Charlie here.
Oh, thanks, Charlie. Okay, and no matters arising. We'll move on to item number 11, which is the minutes of the Neighbourhood Services Committee meeting held on the 26th of January 2022. And page by page for accuracy is page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4 and page 5. So proposer and a seconder for accuracy. Councillor McGuinness, proposed, and Councillor Andrews seconded. Thank you. On any matters arising? Okay. So we'll move on to item number 12, the planning section, and there was no issues referred from the planning committee. So we'll move on to our correspondences and conferences. So items number 13 and 14 are the Housing Council minutes from the 9th of December 2021 and the Housing Council bulletin from January 2022. So can I get a proposer and a seconder to note those, please? Proposed by Councillor Hanlon and seconded by Councillor Owen. And any matters arising on those? Any comments? Okay, so we'll move on to item number 15, which is the APSE meeting dates. Can I get a proposer and seconder to note those dates, please? Proposed by Councillor Andrews. Councillor McAteer, can you turn your microphone off, please? Sorry, Councillor Andrews.
Just in relation, I'd like to propose that anybody know that would wish to attend the conference, I'm actually Deputy Chair of the Northern Ireland region, so I don't know where it's right. Just propose that the dates stand. If I'm going to attend, I'll contact Democratic Services.
Okay, thank you very much, Councillor Andrews. And that's seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Then item number 16 is the NAC meeting dates. Can I get, we need retrospective approval required for Councillor Casey for attendance, the executive meeting in Leeds, and then approval for the required upcoming meetings as set out in the attached reports. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for those, please?
Happy to propose that. So.
I'm also happy to propose.
Proposed by Councillor O'Murray and seconded by Councillor Andrews. And Councillor Taylor, you have a comment?
Yep, Chair. Yep, just still happy to support what's been proposed and seconded. Obviously, just in terms of an inquiry, Councillor Burgess is obviously a member of the NAC too, and I'm assuming the same, obviously, you know, he's entitled to that same, you know, support.
Yes,
in regards to attendance, is that correct? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, Chair, that approval will cover off. I think what we were covering off was the retrospective approval for Councillor Casey's attendance this evening. I think it must be this evening.
Yes, that's what today. It is, Chair.
So, but it applies to Councillor Burgess for future attendance.
Yeah, cheers. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. Okay, so items number 17 to 21 are correspondence for noting. Can I get a proposer and a seconder to note? Proposed by Councillor O'Murray and seconded by Councillor Hanlon. And is there any comments or queries? Councillor McGuinness.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's just on the response from the Department for Infrastructure on the road network. I'd just like to acknowledge the response and just continue to urge them to try and get it sorted out as soon as possible and get works back on the ground. So thank you.
Okay, thanks, Una. Councillor McAteer?
Yeah, and funny, it's actually strange enough, it's the same one as well, but I very much welcome the 50% increase funding for directed towards rural roads, where I'm sure Councillor McGuinness will agree with me as well, is most welcome. So hopefully we'll be able to get this back on track again, because not alone in this district, but in others where even many of our contractors work in, some of the legal challenges have been thwarting work on the ground. So it's very welcome to see that there's action taken place, and this hopefully all been resolved. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McAteer. Councillor Finnegan.
Thanks, Chair. I'm just going to comment on the response from the Department for Health in relation to the dental for expecting mothers and new mothers. Look, it's good to see that there is a response from my proposal to write to just stress the importance of this. Since that proposal, there's been an influx of women who have thanked for pressing on this, and I think it's unfortunate that the letter is loosely worded and it's not really a full commitment made, but I do welcome it all the same, and I hope that the right decision is made. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Finnegan. Councillor McKevitt? Does anyone have their microphones on?
Oh. Okay, I'm going to use this one, sorry. Yeah, just I also want to welcome the response from the Health Minister on the dental care. It came in the back of a motion that I put into council last year. And it's just it's one of the casualties of the COVID pandemic would be on pregnant women and also those that have given birth. As a mother of five myself, it's not that I did have babies to get free dental care, but I certainly took every opportunity I could after having children to make sure that my teeth were well looked after. And it's more on the NHS dentist and not the availability there for women to get those appointments and to look after teeth. So I very much welcome that the Health Minister is considering this, and hopefully it'll come to fruition in the very near future. For all women that all our mummies. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor McKevitt. Sorry. Okay, so we've no more comments or questions, so we'll move on to the notices of motion. So item number 22. Sorry, apologies folks. So it's a notice of motion about the Platinum Jubilee, and it's been referred to the Good Relations Committee. And I note that Councillor Walker has this on the agenda for the upcoming Good Relations Committee coming up. So, Councillor Taylor, is it yourself that's reading this motion, if you don't mind reading it? And
it's obviously happy Councillor Walker and myself can work on that, you know, obviously for the Equality and Good Relations Forum, you know, whenever it's for discussion, but obviously happy to read out my motion. And also like to acknowledge and congratulate Her Majesty on reaching her platinum year. The occasion took place yesterday, and look forward to all that will be in front of us in terms of celebrating that. But I'll read my motion and ask for it to be obviously brought before that Equality Relations Forum meeting whenever myself and Councillor Walker's motions can be discussed at that. To ask Council to establish a funding programme to enable local citizens and community organisations across the district to mark the occasion of the Platinum Jubilee of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, and that will be seconded by Councillor Lewis.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Okay, so the next notice of motion is from Councillor Walker, and it's been heard of full Council tonight. So, Councillor Walker, I'll hand over to yourself.
Chair, thank you very much. I'll read the motion. That this council write to Twitter and other social media platforms calling for improved scrutiny of online accounts, and also write to the Department of Justice Minister to explore a change in the law to ban anonymous accounts. Fellow councillors, you'll be aware that over a long period of time there has been a serious misuse of Twitter and social media platforms. For example, from the outbreak of COVID, our Health Minister, Robin Swan, has been threatened, leading to the individual being convicted. That same individual, I'm led to believe, is to appear in court again because he is continuing with his online attacks. Diane Dodds has been abused over her late son, Naomi Long, Michelle O'Neill, and others, to name a few, have been abused online. This is unacceptable. We have seen a young boy over the border take his life due to online abuse. That's what prompted me to bring this motion to Council tonight. While people might say we are fair game, no one is fair game. It's wrong and shouldn't be happening. Lives and families are being destroyed because of it. Social media providers need to take note and step up to the mark and bring in robust safeguard measures to safeguard everyone. There are too many anonymous accounts out there, and they need dealt with, so they do. Our Justice Minister, who has also been faced with a torrent of abuse, needs to work with social media providers and bring in stiffer sentencing for those convicted of these offences. I do know that Diane Dodds and Sinead Bradley have brought this to the Minister for Justice in the Assembly. I also am aware that the UK government are bringing an online safety bill through Parliament, which we all should be supporting. So let us as a council help put pressure on the powers that be, whether it be at Stormont or Westminster, to help change the legislation in relation to online abuse. And I hope that every councillor and every party within this chamber tonight backs this motion, because we have all been affected by social media bullying, and it must stop now. I present the motion to the council.
Thank you, Councillor Walker.
And the motion will be seconded by Councillor Owen.
Thank you. Councillor Owen, do you want to come in to second the motion?
Thanks very much, Councillor Mason. Yes, I would like to second the motion. I have probably very little further to say that Councillor Walker's already said, except just to say that again, those of us who managed to make it on Twitter and cope with it, we only saw over the weekend that again the journalist Suzanne Breen had horrific abuse directed at her daughter. Something as innocent as her daughter celebrating her AQE results led to another anonymous account making some, I'm not even going to say it, vile comments. I myself have had abuse, and I know certainly from speaking to many of the councillors in the chamber that you have all experienced something similar. And I don't agree. I don't think we should be seen as fair game. You know, we all step up to the mark to be the best public representatives that we can, and I think we have should have social responsibility in order to try and not make this type of behaviour normalised. So yeah, more than happy to second Councillor Walker's motion, and really glad to see that this is becoming a thing in politics. We're all standing together on this, and thanks very much.
Thank you, Councillor Owen. Councillor Andrews.
Thank you very much, Chair. And on behalf of the SDLP group, and I'd like to thank Councillor Walker for bringing this motion forward to this council meeting here this evening. We've all witnessed and heard of stories and episodes of online abuse directed towards people of all ages, backgrounds, and even a lot of people have been targeted because they seem to be different or whatever. And I know one of my colleagues, Councillor McKevitt, has herself seen this happen to her on the Twitter and whatever. And she condemns online abuse and welcomes the motion too. You know, well, as I say, we've heard the stories, especially at Young Lad over a few weeks ago. And, you know, as I say, it's all ended up, you know, towards people, as I said, of all ages and backgrounds, sexual orientation, ethnicity, resulting in tragic circumstances, suicide, self-harm, etc. You know, in many cases, a lot of the perpetrators have walked off scot-free and left a wave of heartbreak and anguish in their trail. In supporting the motion of our council group, we do support the call that social media platforms should go the extra mile and deploy resources in tackling this online scourge. And I know, especially recently, I would say my heart went out to Diane Dodds, you know, over what she suffered online. And, you know, nobody, as the previous speaker said, nobody is fair game and nobody is entitled to receive that treatment. But I do also call upon the Justice Minister and the Home Secretary and the Minister for Justice in Dublin, Helen McEntee, and the other government departments and other agencies and bodies to bring in stringent legislation and provide resources to bring those responsible for this type of abuse to account and answer for their actions, and to implement strict and harsh penalties to deal with that. But again, thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Hannah, you've an S in there. Do you want to make a comment?
Yeah, if you don't mind, Chair, I wouldn't mind making a comment. Just on this, I would thank Ballyfore for bringing it forward, because there's so many keyboard warriors out there that feel so safe and that they cannot be tracked down a lot of the times, and they can be so nasty and so vile. And there is an old saying, there's sticks and stones may break your bones, but names will never harm you. To be quite honest with you, words can hurt very badly. Should it impact mentally on you, so it can, it can stress you, so it can do so many things to you. We need this sorted out, but if it takes Stormont or elsewhere there to sort this out, it needs to be done as soon as possible. So thanks, Chair, for letting me say something.
Thank you, Glenn. Councillor Hanlon?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'm not going to rehearse what previous speakers have said, but it would definitely give me full support and support of Sinn Féin to this motion. You know, online abuse, and especially anonymous abuse, is just not on. And I know as elected representatives, we bear the brunt of it, but, you know, we also have to think about, you know, we're living in a digital age. And I know even in my own house, you know, if teenagers are, I worry so much sometimes of what they're reading and, you know, the type of messages they're getting, and you're constantly policing it yourself, and which is really very, very hard to do. I'm glad Councillor Walker referred to the fact that there is a bill going through Parliament, and I would propose that we as a council write to the UK Digital Culture and Sports Committee showing our support for the bill going through, if they would accept that. Thank you.
Councillor Walker.
Sure, I would accept that.
Thank you. Okay, Councillor McMurray.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Happy to support this, and certainly the sentiments behind it. I think it's slightly depressing that we have to bring something like this, A, because people feel the need to say such things, and also that the providers, the platform providers, can't take this action on their own volition. And that, you know, it's left to essentially individuals to sort of pursue the legal route and to try and do some of this stuff. But certainly no, certainly yes, and I wouldn't want them to speak for the minister, but if there are actions that the department can take, I'm sure that Minister Long would be more than happy to pursue them. But yes, no, happy to support the motion and all the sentiments behind it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor McMurray. Councillor Lewis.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to thank Councillor Walker for bringing this vitally important motion tonight. And it's not simply about the level of anonymous accounts that's out there, but the accounts that also are very easy to spot, and the people who's run them, who are very easily identified as well, and the level of abuse and threats that people feel that they can post online, that there needs to be more stringent and tighter regulations around these online accounts to ensure that people are held accountable for what they post, the exact same way that they would be if they set out in a public in a public forum or a meeting like this, that the law just doesn't seem to transfer onto that sort of for virtual world, and this does stretch right the way from kids and children in school right in to the workplace, to elected representatives. And we have seen tragedy where people have taken their own lives and harmed themselves by the level of abuse that there is online. And sort of my message through this would also be to parents to ensure that they are aware of what their young people are doing online, and to ensure that they keep an eye on what they're actually accessing, because the internet is being used and abused by people in all different ways, and it's very welcome that this council is getting involved. And I know that it's higher up the chain than us, but it does take the like of this issue to be raised and highlighted at a council level for to filter up. And I do just welcome the the amendment which was made there, because I was going to suggest that myself, and it'll be interesting to hear what the feedback that we get from the Secretary of State for Digital, Cultural and Media as well, to see what Westminster and indeed on a local level Stormont are doing to hold these companies to account. So in terms of support, the Ulster Unionist Party will be supporting this motion, and thank Councillor Walker for it.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Riley?
Thanks very much, Madam Chair. Yeah, fully support the motion. And I've been subject to massive amounts of abuse online over the years as a councillor. And I can handle it. It's not a problem for me. Really not. But there are so many young people out there, vulnerable people, people maybe who are just don't fully conform to societal norms, whatever. And they can't handle abuse. They just can't handle it. And when it's coming from anonymous sources, but who have a knowledge of that individual, you know, it's just so unfair. It really is. You know, I heard Arlene Foster describe it as the Wild West of media, because anybody can click and set up an anonymous account and attack people and call them all the names, make accusations against them that could be life-destroying. And there's also the flip side of that, Madam Chair, in that you see increasingly authentic accounts where people have completely reasonable alternative views to what the mainstream media may be putting out on many social issues, or global warming, or COVID-19, and they're immediately swatted and taken out of the system. But yet these anonymous people who can give terrible abuse, in the Northern Ireland context, we have it on both sides, both loyalists and Republicans, trolls, you know, the things that they say to unionist and nationalist reps, it's just unbelievable what they can get away with. And as I say, most of us are fairly tough, thick-skinned people who have been in this for a fair while, and we can handle that. But it's my family members. I've seen my daughter crying her eyes out because of things that were said about me that didn't affect me, but really did affect my family. So I'm really grateful to Billy for bringing this forward, and it is good when it does need really serious attention. But we also need to make sure, Madam Chair, that the government doesn't use it as an excuse to stifle alternative debate and ideas, because I see that drifting into the way that social media is managed now by the bigger high-tech companies. But thanks very much indeed. Fully support it.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Councillor McKee?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And could I also totally agree with Councillor Walker's notice of motion here. And it's a short presentation, but certainly there's a lot of debate and discussion can be had on it. And I think, as Henry probably said, we're all thick-skinned. But at the end of the day, we're all human. And we can very often put a brave face on things, but a lot of this stuff, it doesn't matter if you're a councillor, MLA, MP, minister, whatever it is, once those things begin to hit into the domestic, into the family affairs, it really does hit home. And I do not think each or any one of us should be able to take it. We are all reasonably thick skin. We can take a certain amount, but you know there's times you know, you've seen enough of it, and it's far worse if someone's at it, you've no idea who's doing it, you have no idea where it's coming from. If it's somebody you know, that's maybe one thing, but you know something that's been said for years, a lot of this stuff that is said to us as all as individuals, if somebody was standing facing them, they wouldn't be saying such a thing. They can say it sort of under the cover of Twitter or social media, and I'm just glad that it does go to this council, right, to Twitter, social media platform, and also to the Department of Justice, and including the amendment, that something is done. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Councillor McAteer?
Yeah, thank you, Chair, and again, thanks, Councillor Walker, for bringing the motion.
And the second part of the motion, where it talks about the change in the law, I mean, I think there's been a lot of public debate about that all over the world recently, and I think it's very difficult to do it because a lot of these Twitter accounts and public platforms are not based, sometimes not even based anywhere. They're very hard to pin down. So I would love to see, certainly, if we could draw that, we change the law in these jurisdictions, but the best of luck with that one. But I think it's also worth, we're all talking here tonight so far that, you know, it's all in the political sphere, but I know that, and it's worth bringing to attention, that even officers of this council were targeted by certain groups as well, which is totally and absolutely unwelcome, undefiled and or defensible and unacceptable. And, you know, a public servant, carrying out their duties, are at the end of the day, should not be declared open season upon, engaged anywhere in public life, you know. Now, having said that, and we've seen it recently, some engaged in public life have also used language that leave a hell of a lot to be desired and could be encouraging the like of responses that we see as well. So there's a duty and responsibility on all of us to have respect for each other, respect for those that have different views than you hold yourself. And I think that really is supposedly the defining part of it all, is that, you know, don't put anything up that you wouldn't want to have said about yourself, even in the heat of any argument. So thanks, Billy, for bringing that as well. And yeah, we'll be supporting. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor McAteer. Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I'm not going to repeat anything that anyone has said before. I just want to make a brief comment. Chair, you open all your meetings about, this year you're talking about mental health and asking people small things they can do each month. And just listening to some of the contributions there, I would ask that people stop using the language of "I am thick-skinned, I can handle it, we can handle it, other people may not be handled," because we're creating, we're adding to the problem. And I know the comments aren't meant in a way that will add to the problem. We talk about people that don't associate with societal norms can't handle it, but we can. You know, you might think you can handle it, but your mind catches up with you before you know it. So what you feel you can handle and the effect it's having on your mental health are two different things. And I think we'd do a great service to people if we stop using language about what we can handle and how thick our skin is and just call it out as completely wrong. If you print it out, as some of the councillors say, and put it up in your fridge and see, let your family look at it, would you be proud of it? Well, then don't post it. And I think that's what we should have in the back of our mind going forward. And just a small point on anonymity. It's not all bad. There are a lot of people that use anonymous accounts for good reasons, whether they're marginalised people looking for help that don't want to use their own names, or people in oppressive regimes. Journalists and pro-democracy people use it in a very, very positive way. And if it was banned by social media platforms, that would be a huge distress to people like that and put them in danger. But the platforms do hide behind excuses like that. And I think with a wee bit of sense, they should be tightening up some of their checks on social media. But it's the abuse that needs to be called out. But I do think as elected reps, if we just stop using that language of what we can handle and just call it out as not being acceptable, and nobody should be able to have to handle it or try and thicken up their skin.
Thanks for that, Pete. Okay, so I think there's clear support for your motion. Councillor Walker, do you want to come in to sum up?
Sure, thank you very much. And firstly, I want to thank all councillors for their unanimous support here tonight. Hopefully this will go some way to help deal with online abuse, because as I've said, it's wrong. Any type of abuse is wrong. And in relation to anonymous accounts, the Westminster Bill doesn't tackle anonymous accounts. So maybe when we're writing to Westminster, we highlight that. So we do, and I take on board what Councillor Byrne has said there in relation to there's some people out there use anonymous accounts for good reasons. Maybe a cry for help or whatever, and that there, you know, they shouldn't be penalised for I would call, I'll not use the word, the people that do use anonymous accounts and that. So once again, I want to thank all councillors and parties for supporting this motion tonight.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. Okay, so we'll move on to item number 24, which is a notice of motion from Councillor Malone around female self-defence. This item's been referred to the Active and Healthy Communities Committee. But Councillor Malone, if you'd like to read your motion as it is and let us know who is seconding it, please.
Thanks, Chair. After the shocking murder of Fashion Murphy in Tullamore, I'm requesting that Newry, Mourne and Down District Council organise and advertise female self-defence courses in all local leisure centres, communities, facilities, etc. to increase the confidence of our local female population. These courses could provide much needed expertise to females, which they can utilise to maybe save their or other individual lives if they find themselves in difficult situations. Councillor Gibbons is seconding.
Okay, Councillor Gibbons, you're happy to second?
Yes, Chair, no problem. Yeah, sorry, Chair, yeah.
No worries. Thank you, Councillor Gibbons.
Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Malone. Okay, thank you. So we'll move on now to item number 25, which is a notice of motion around animal welfare from Councillor Brown, but I'm aware that Councillor McMurray, you're going to be taking this on behalf of Councillor Brown. This item is being referred to the Enterprise Regeneration Tourism Committee, but Councillor McMurray, if you'd like to read out the motion as it is, and let us know who'll be seconding it, please.
Yeah, thank you, Chair, on sort of being accommodating on account of Councillor Brown. This council notes the increasing and worrying prevalence of puppy farming and pet abandonment in recent years, and the high levels of public interest in addressing this and all instances of animal cruelty. Recognising council's responsibility for animal welfare and the importance of interagency and partnership working to address this issue, council will establish an animal welfare forum. This forum will meet regularly, at least quarterly, and provide strategic direction and oversight to officers involved in animal welfare, reporting back to the AHC committee. It will also seek representation from elected members, dog wardens, kenneling providers, DERA, animal shelters, charities, and the PSNI. And I hope I'm reliably informed that Councillor Owen is seconding said motion. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Owen, you're happy to second?
Happy to second, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Councillor McMurray. Councillor Owen. Okay, we'll move on to item number 26. And we've received a request for an emergency notice of motion. And this requires a suspension of standing orders. Somebody got their... suspension of standing order 16.11, and we need to have a qualified majority vote in order to allow this to happen. So that is 80% of those present and voting, and we will now call for a recorded vote.
That's 5 votes.
Could I ask everyone to mute their microphone just until the name's called out, please? There's a bit of background noise. I think we're having a bit of a network issue, so if we just, if everyone can just bear with us, please.
So we have 40 councillors online at the minute, so we need 32 of those agreeing in order to, for the recorded, sorry, to hear the motion. So Councillor Andrews?
Born.
Councillor Brown is... Councillor Burgess?
For.
Councillor Byrne?
For.
Councillor Casey?
For.
Councillor Clark?
For.
Councillor Kern?
For.
For, sorry.
Councillor Devlin?
Four.
Councillor Enright? Councillor Enright? He's not there. Councillor Finnegan?
Four.
Councillor Gallagher?
Four.
Councillor Gibbons?
Four.
Councillor Hanlon?
Four.
Councillor Hannah? Councillor Hannah?
Four.
Councillor Hart?
Four.
Councillor Howell?
Four.
Councillor Larkin?
Four.
Councillor Lewis?
Four.
Councillor McGuinness?
Four.
Councillor Malone?
Four.
Councillor Mason?
Four.
Councillor McAteer?
Four.
Councillor McAvoy?
Four.
Councillor McKee?
Four.
Councillor McKevitt?
Four.
Councillor McMurray?
Four.
Councillor Mulberry?
Four.
Councillor Murphy?
Four.
Councillor O'Hare?
Four.
Councillor O'Murray?
Four.
Councillor Owen?
Four.
Councillor Riley?
Against.
Councillor Rice?
Four.
Councillor Wan?
Four.
Councillor Savage?
Four.
Councillor Sharvin is off the call. Councillor Stokes?
Four.
Councillor Taylor?
Four.
Councillor Tinley?
Four.
Councillor Traynor?
Four.
And Councillor Walker?
Four.
Councillor Enright has said four in the text.
Oh, I'd say he's back on. Councillor Enright's four as well. So we have 38 for and one against and no abstentions.
Okay, thank you, Charlotte. So this notice of motion about the emergency service provision at Daisy Hill Hospital has come in from Councillor McGrew. So I'll hand over to you, Councillor McGrew.
Okay, Chair. Thank you very much, and thank you to all the councillors that supported the hearing of this motion tonight. The motion reads that this council expresses its complete opposition to the Southern Trust decision to temporarily remove the emergency surgery provision from Daisy Hill Hospital, that we call on that decision to be reversed and efforts redoubled to guarantee continued and improved service provision for the people in this district. We further call on all parties to support the proposed 2022-25 budget, which will see huge increases in health spending across the north, and we would ask that this motion be forwarded to the Southern Trust and to the Health Minister. Chair, I acknowledge that from I submitted that motion request, there have been a number of meetings held with the Southern Trust. I know myself and my fellow Newry Sinn Féin councillors, MLAs and MPs met with Shane Devlin last Monday, and the council had follow-up meetings then on Wednesday and Thursday of last week. So first and foremost, I acknowledge that Mr. Devlin, in the final days of his role of chief executive, did give us a degree of time. So I just want to acknowledge that. However, you know, it's key that people understand that I think for councillors, this news came as a huge shock, because we were actually waiting through our council meetings over the last, certainly it was raised, I think, by Councillor Byrne in December and by myself last month, looking for a date to have discussions with the Southern Trust regarding the expansion of theatre services within Daisy Hill. So the way that this news was conveyed to the entire population, including ourselves, was incredibly distressing. And the impression that that information, you know, and that news gives is that Daisy Hill is a hospital that just simply limps from one crisis to another. And that is absolutely soul destroying for the staff within that hospital who, you know, are so diligent and caring of their patients. And of course, for the service users who rely on that service. Now, I know in previous crises with Daisy Hill Hospital, we had the stroke service and then the emergency department a couple of years ago, and the Pathfinder was set up as a direct response of that. And I know in our second council meeting with the Trust last week, we, you know, we had representation there from Pathfinder. And bearing in mind that this is a group of people that are independent of the Trust, if you like, and are people that the community and society seem to trust, I would suggest that, you know, Pathfinder and the Southern Trust have conversations how they best can, you know, communicate information about both the promising and good news that was happening within our trust area, but also when decisions like this are taken, because I think it was unforgivable that this information came out in the way that it did, especially when we have been trying for so long, from the 17th of October, to have a meeting with the Southern Trust regarding theatre services. Now, the trust explanation that they have given regarding the resignation of a surgeon within Daisy Hill Hospital, okay, someone has resigned, that's fine. However, they tell us that this is going to affect between 5 and 6 patients who normally, daily, who would normally present themselves in the emergency department and may require abdominal surgery. Now, though it's a suggestion that those 5 or 6 patients are then taken by ambulance to Craigavon Area Hospital. Now, for anybody in the Newry and South Armagh and South Armagh or Down area, we are well aware of the pressure under our ambulance services. And we all have horror stories, some within my own family, about the length of time people who are seriously ill have had to wait on an ambulance. People who have been involved in accidents, people who have been had strokes, you know. So if we have 5 or 6 people, realistically, to take, go from Daisy Hill Hospital to Craigavon Area Hospital, to offload your person, your patient, to hand over the notes to the clinical personnel in Craigavon Area Hospital and to return to Daisy Hill. With a very good wind behind you, you'll do it in 3 hours. If there's a queue outside Craigavon Area Hospital, which is routine now, a queue of ambulances waiting to offload their patients, this effectively will be taking an ambulance out of service for our area, one ambulance over the course of 24 hours. So I would like to add to the initial amendment that we contact the ambulance service and ask what communications have taken place between them and the trust, what assurances they can give the people of our community that there will be adequate ambulance provision to make up the shortfall that these ambulances commuting patients to Craigavon Area Hospital is going to create. Because the bottom line is, waiting time for an ambulance for someone that is severely injured or hurt or has a stroke will ultimately cost lives. And we need that reassurance. And while I understand difficult decisions have to be made, solutions have also got to be found. So I would like that we, you know, that fellow councillors would accept that the ambulance service is key in this and we need to communicate with the ambulance service. We also heard from Shane Devlin that there's a consultation going to take place about theatre services in the Southern Trust, but that will not commence until after the election. So this decision actually is for the foreseeable future. Now, that consultation, I think it is absolutely key that the theatre services within Daisy Hill Hospital are absolutely maximised. Their full potential is maximised because not only are they sitting there, fantastic state-of-the-art facilities with highly skilled staff, that is going to be vital to us tackling the ever-increasing waiting lists on surgery and certainly coming out of the post-COVID world. We need all of our theatres. So Daisy Hill needs to have its fair share. And the consultants that work within the trust and the consultants that are to be implied in the trust in the future must be trust-wide, not hospital-based. Now, we are given those assurances, but, you know, we don't see them coming down to Daisy Hill, hence we're in this situation. So it's absolutely key that that is what happens. There's also a concern among the community that Craigavon Area Hospital is already at bursting point. As I say, we frequently have the hospitals, the ambulances queued outside the emergency department. The wards are absolutely bursting at their seams. And are they going to be fit to cope with this additional staff, these additional patients? The whole decision around this has caused a huge amount of stress and disappointment. And this stress and disappointment within our community and within our society has been exasperated by the fact that the Assembly has not yet agreed the 3-year budget, which actually would have seen £21 billion spent in health. And that is money that would have tackled our waiting lists. It would have eased the COVID pressures on the health service. And more importantly, perhaps of all, it would have given our NHS staff a decent wage. And there is a solution to this. This is only the start of the solution, but getting that budget over the line was absolutely key, and the fact that that has not happened is unforgivable. So finally, before others come in to speak, I want to put on record how much I want to thank all of our NHS staff, not just for the work that they have done over the last 2 years, but over the last couple of decades when their pay has been frozen, their services, you know, hampered. And, you know, they do Trojan work and are to be admired and thanked by our entire community. So that is me, Chair, and I know Michael, my colleague Michael Rice, is going to second the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mulgrew. Councillor Rice, you want to come in and comment and second?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'm more than happy to second Councillor Mulgrew's motion, and I agree with her comments. Daisy Hill's location and population trends in the wider Newry, South Down, South Armagh and North Leinster area mean that Daisy Hill's viability as a top-class healthcare facility must be guaranteed. There will always be a demand for a hospital at Daisy Hill. It is critical for our residents in the Mourns and South Down, especially the rural residents. It is clear from the continued discussion with a variety of workers in Daisy Hill that significant steps need to be taken to protect and promote our hospital and rural services. The emergency surgery provision must be reinstated immediately. We must stop the drip feed of services away from our hospital. Each service that is removed or reduced results in another being compromised and the standard of healthcare in this area being reduced. So that's why I'm happy to second Councillor Mulgrew's motion. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Rice. So, Councillor Hannah, you're in there for a comment, stroke amendment.
Yes, thanks, Chair. I would pretty much agree with a lot of what Roisin said. There's one part of it I wouldn't agree with, but just on the hospital itself and the retention of surgery and all those services that's up in Daisy Hill, that hospital, to be quite honest with you there, the folk of Mourne really, really do depend on that. I know my family has depended on it on many occasions and in many serious situations. What I don't want to see is that starting to drip feed away all the services is up there. I know at the moment that the hospital is bursting at the seams, and what Roisin says is the truth. All the surgery opportunities should be maximised in that hospital, so it should. Just on that as well, it is disappointing in the way that the announcement has come out, and I know Mr. Dublin there has said there that no services has been removed in his time there, but to be quite honest with you, optics are a lot of it, so they are. And it does appear at times that the services are being downgraded and downgraded. And I see we lost a senior member of staff, a surgeon, out of the hospital. And I don't know whether he'll be replaced or not. I hope he will be replaced. And that two surgeons probably are not enough, because you bear in mind that from Ballymurton, where I live at, Nanalown, right through to South Armagh and further afield, all depend on this here to do. And if you go in there in emergency looking for emergency surgery, you need it done, so you do. Should it be in childbirth or whatever? Now, if you do go there and we actually find that the surgeons at that moment in time when you do need the emergency surgery cannot be secured, to move on from that, from Yerry to Craigavon, as Roisin did say, Craigavon is bursting and absolutely bursting at the seams. It's been over capacity for nearly months now, so it has. So to be quite honest with you, the Daisy Hill needs to be kept, sustained, and actually improved. The service is improved and more resources put into it. The one bit, Roisin, that I couldn't agree to is the second part of your motion that we further call on all parties to support the proposed 2022-25 budget, which will see huge increases in the health spending across the north. What I would suggest to you, Roisin, in that there, that is possibly a Sinn Féin budget at the moment. It's only out to consultation at the moment, so it is. It needs a lot more work done till it is not final in any sense of the word whatsoever. Yes, I want to see a lot more money put into health and all that's needed in that health. And what I'm proposing, Chair, is that that one sentence reference the budget that I've just read out to you is removed from the motion. And I would be more than happy to support the rest of it. So I'm proposing, Chair, that that amendment is taken, is given there, so it is that that one sentence is taken out because the budget is not agreed at the moment at all. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Walker, your comment, second Glynn's amendment?
Yes, second.
Okay.
I'm happy enough to second Councillor Hannah's amendment.
Thank you. Councillor McGrew, are you happy to accept that amendment?
Sorry, Chair, I had to take off my mute. No, Chair, I think that is absolutely key, that Stormont, all parties in Stormont support the proposed budget.
Okay, thank you. Well, Councillor Taylor, will take your comment.
Yep, thank you, Chair. Chair, I attended the trust meeting maybe just under 2 weeks ago now, where this decision was taken, and whilst there was obviously rumours before that and indications that this was ahead, it was still very disappointing and very concerning that the Trust felt it necessary to take the decision to transfer emergency surgery provision from Daisy Hill and move it to Craigavon. I certainly acknowledge the challenges that have been outlined by the Trust in terms of the availability of consultant general surgeons within the Trust area at this time, and indeed it's a problem across Northern Ireland in this regard. But I also worry about the forward planning on these issues at times as well, because it's been clear, you know, for a while now, maybe a long time, that these type of pressures were ahead. And whilst we have heard about attempts to recruit people, I always ask the question, are we going far enough to recruit those positions that are absolutely vital to sustaining the services that we have at Daisy Hill Hospital, such as emergency surgery? I've been engaging with the Health Minister on this issue, and indeed general issues regarding Daisy Hill, you know, Hospital during his term in office, and his term will finish shortly. And I certainly know that he, you know, recognises the importance of Daisy Hill, and he sees it as a major asset in terms of the hospital estate. And I've stressed to him the importance of attracting staff to Daisy Hill to ensure that these type of service provisions at the hospital are retained, and in fact that we can have services enhanced, because the hospital itself means a lot to the local community. It provides a vital service, not just in Newry, but South Armagh, Mourne, and indeed the wider area. And it's clear that the hospital, you know, is first-class facility, and it deserves all the services that it can, and they should be protected to the maximum. And, you know, going forward, you know, I believe there must be a concerted effort, and this is all part of the forward planning agenda that needs to come to the fore regarding, you know, with the hospital estate. There must be a concerted effort by senior trust officials and indeed by the Department of Health to achieve an increased capacity of skilled, you know, people like consultant general surgeons to ensure that these services are protected in their places like Daisy Hill, because that's absolutely vital to ensuring that we have that type of service and that's sustained for the long term and for the benefit of the hospital and all those people that live in this wide area. So a lot of work's required, you know, going forward, and it's very easy to turn around and say bring it back, but we also have our role to play in ensuring that we put the pressure on to make sure that the long term sustainability of these services are protected, because if they're able to recruit somebody in the morning to fill that position, that's fair enough. But it also leaves a gap of four other surgeons, that because the capacity should be six in Daisy Hill. It's sitting at one at the minute. So there's obviously longer term problems that we need to work with the Trust and the Health Department of Health. Pressures are obviously required from us as a council body and as local politicians, but we need to ensure and we need to see the detail from them as to what they're doing to achieve the necessary skilled workforce to protect these services. So the budget itself, listen, health
the budget, I suppose because of the way of where we are of a storm at the minute, the budget itself will be uncertain anyway, so we're probably going to be working on a yearly budget subject to the return of Stormont at whatever point, whether it be this side of the election or more likely after the election. And again, we can't say where that will be, so it'll be probably a yearly budget working at a 75% rate, I think, is what they talk about in many aspects. So the 3-year plan probably that was outlined at this stage is not feasible. So, but health obviously needs more money, but with that, the money needs to be spent wisely to ensure that it's going to frontline services. So the motion, we're happy to support it because we obviously need to send a message across to the trust and to the department about how much Daisy Hill means to us and the services that are in it. So, I hope that obviously we can all, send that strong message out of this meeting tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Savage?
Yes, Chair. Mine involves a question and an amendment. So, Chair, the announcement by the Southern Trust of the proposed temporary removal of emergency abdominal surgery from Daisy Hill Hospital has caused both great concern and fear in our local community. And while I agree with the sentiment of the motion, Chair, I believe it needs to be amended to reflect the harsh realities of where we are politically at present. Firstly, given the removal of the First Minister from the Northern Ireland Executive this week, the reality is that there will be no 3-year budget agreed and put to the Assembly in its parliamentary term. So I believe that its inclusion in the motion, while all parties support the increased funding of our health service, the motion is speaking of a budget at consultation stage, and I believe our energies should be put into getting that budget to the stage of approval. So I believe we need to see the core detail of that budget before giving it a nod on the blind without political or fiscal scrutiny. Chair, the SDLP views the current proposals to remove emergency abdominal surgery from Daisy Hill as a result of the failure of the Southern Trust and Department of Health's recruitment strategy, whether that be down to the lack of resources, imagination or lack of will to recruit the necessary surgical complement required. And we believe that further efforts beyond current recruitment practices need to be deployed. Chair, Daisy Hill's location on the border of the southeast corner of Northern Ireland underpins the need for the rationalisation of our local health services to be looked at strategically beyond the 6 counties of the north. And what is really an 11-county problem needs to be looked at beyond the 6-county mindset. Greater cross-border cooperation in health across these islands needs to be front and centre of any future planning for the role of Daisy Hill Hospital and what it plays in looking after the health needs of our people. Cross-border health cooperation does not threaten anyone's identity, but it can potentially save lives, be that in Uri, South Down, South Armagh, County Louth or County Monaghan. Chair, I'm aware that Justin McNulty, MLA, just this week has had ongoing engagement with the Republic's Health Minister, Stephen Donnelly, in relation to greater cross-border cooperation in health and the key role Daisy Hill may play in that. And I firmly believe that the Health Minister in the North would be pushing an open door if they engage meaningfully with his or her southern counterpart in relation to making meaningful cross-border health cooperation a reality. There are funding sources such as Interreg and the new Shared Island Unit, to name just two, available to support such an initiative. And I believe we all have a duty to work together to make this happen for the benefit of all our citizens. Chair, there is also a need to ensure any proposed change to the service to the people of Newry, South Down and South Armagh is properly resourced, supported and, most importantly, rural-proofed. We live in a rural district and we need cast-iron assurances that any proposed changes, temporary or otherwise, that are ever mooted that impact the health of our people have sufficient ambulance cover to ensure that our people do not face any increased threat to their safety or well-being. Chair, for these reasons, I propose the following amendment to the motion. In the initial paragraph says, this council expresses its complete opposition to the Southern Trust decision to temporarily remove emergency surgery provision at Daisy Hill Hospital. We call on that decision to be reversed and efforts redoubled to guarantee continued and improved service provision for people in this district. Chair, I propose removing the remainder of the motion and inserting the following. Council calls for part of any future increased health budget to be ring-fenced for 1, unprecedented international procurement efforts to fill the complete complement of surgical expertise, 2, the exploration and delivery of cross-border health solutions where an enhanced and expanded Daisy Hill would serve County Monaghan and County Louth, as well as Newry, South Down and South Armagh. and further calls for an urgent meeting between Council and the new Chief Executive of the Southern Trust and the Chief Executive of the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service to discuss the proposed temporary removal of emergency surgery at Daisy Hill Hospital. Chair, I forward that amended to Sarah, and I'm sure she could forward that for Roisin and others to digest. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Savage. Sarah's put that the wording of that into the chat facility there. Is there someone to second your post? Councillor McKevitt, thank you. Councillor Mulgrew, are you happy to accept that amendment?
Sorry, Chair, that I'm just trying to look for the wording again from Sarah just to be able to digest that. That is a fairly hefty amendment, and I think we would all need time to digest that to see whether or not it's even feasible. But I still can't see it here. Sorry, sir.
I think it's been emailed. It's in the chat, Councillor McGrain. It's also emailed as well.
No, I think we as parties would need to actually have to be able to digest that, because that is a fairly lengthy amendment. And as I say, I would need to have time to analyse that to see whether that is the most prudent use of budget coming out of a post-COVID world. So if parties want to take a recess to discuss that, I'm happy enough to go with that.
Chair, I propose that we have 5 minutes recess to consider. It's only fair, but it is quite substantial.
Councillor McAteer, I'm just going to let, there's another couple of comments to come in.
Oh, yes.
So I'm going to let them other couple of comments to come in, and then we'll take a 5 minute break to have a look at it. So next up is, there's not much in the chat now. Councillor Malone, is it? Oh, Councillor Riley, sorry. Apologies.
Apologies accepted, Madam Chair. I voted against this being brought to Council as an emergency motion. And Roisin McGrew knows that I have a lot of respect for her general analysis in general issues, and I would support her usually. But I listened very intently to the presentation given by the Southern Trust management. And it's not a transfer of surgery out of Daisy Hill. It's in this one specific instance whereby very detailed and intricate surgery on people's abdomens can only be conducted by one surgeon at the minute that the trust has available. And what he pointed out was that if some other surgeon comes into Daisy Hill who doesn't normally do that type of sophisticated surgery, he could operate on somebody's gallbladder to remove it or whatever and make a mess, and that they have to prioritise patient safety and bring those 5 or 6 people who may present on a daily basis to Craigavon to make sure that they get the best possible service. And, you know, I can't understand why that can't be accepted by people as a temporary measure if it's for patient safety. If I thought that they were trying to pull the wool over our eyes, I would have let him have it. There's no question or doubt about it. But he wasn't. The guy was being completely genuine. And in fact, he was getting so much stick at times, I thought he was going to break down and cry at one stage. But, you know, I know there's an election coming. And one of the benefits of being an independent and not running an assembly election is that you can be open and frank and honest with the people and not try to score points and put fear into people. Oh, vote for me or Daisy Hill will be closed. Daisy Hill's not going to be closed. It's vital to the infrastructure of the Southern Trust. And I think it's a bit rich to talk about us accommodating Louth and Monaghan. It was the Irish government that closed on run down Dundalk, Drogheda and Monaghan, centralised everything in Dublin, and now the SDLP and Sinn Féin are telling us we have to pick up the slack for County Louth. No, we're a part of the NHS of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. We put our own people first and we get the resources in there to make sure that our people get the treatment they deserve. If we can facilitate patients from the south, okay, but our own people come first. That has to be the case. And we're talking about all the extra money for the NHS here over the next 3 years. Where's that money coming from, Madam Chair? Once again, coming from the Treasury in London, we should be so grateful to be part of this magnificent United Kingdom that is prepared to spend money on its people, unlike the Republic of Ireland that just seems to want to grind their own people into the ground, close everything, centralise everything in Dublin. So, Madam Chairman, let's look at the facts. And again, I don't want to, I'm sure Rushing is mature enough not to take it as an attack on her, what I'm saying. But I just think we need to think, be careful, and not to put fear into the people when it's not justified. If it is justified, I'll go for them. I've got a reputation of going for them when need be. But when it's, the situation is a genuine temporary issue to ensure patient safety, we should not be scaring the general public. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Councillor Malone?
Thanks, Chair. I'd certainly be opposed to what Councillor Riley's after saying with regards to Daisy Hill. I think we're in a very dangerous position, and I'd just like to read this out, Chair. I've attended numerous meetings regarding the future of emergency surgery services at Daisy Hill recently, and I've listened intensely to various senior health service officers. Does this council seriously believe that there is no intention to reduce or remove emergency surgery services? How can this hospital provide serious emergency surgery with no ICU and without a full complement of surgeons and anaesthetic services? Is it not also worrying that coinciding with the suspension of emergency services, we have an announcement from the Trust that there will be a consultation on the future of surgery, emergency surgery in the near future? All of this thinks, and I think we need to have a coordinated plan if we are to prevent future reduction of medical services at Daisy Hill Hospital, Chair, and I'd like to hear what our councillors have to say about this serious problem.
Thank you. Thank you. Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I sit on various health-related bodies, including chair of the Audit Committee, and on all the health bodies I sit upon, the need for a three-year budget is critical to the financial governance of the health service in Northern Ireland and all the bodies adherent to. The amount of money that's wasted every year because the management are unable to budget for more than 1 year is phenomenal. Money has to be spent in year. For instance, you'll see situations whereby that at the end of the year, it's very common, say, for staff not to be recruited to stay within budget, and then they're recruited in the following year. Then that drives up the cost of overtime in year. The lack of a three-year budget in the health service is devastating to the efficiency and effectiveness of all bodies associated with the health service in Northern Ireland. I just particularly want to support that point. But if I come back to temporary cutbacks as well, and I know in East Down we're constantly faced with temporary cutbacks, which never seem to affect the Ulster Hospital or Lagan Valley to a lesser extent, and that temporary cutbacks always occur in the Down, as if the people of East Down and South Down didn't really matter. And it's not, there are no instances where similar temporary cutbacks occur in the Ulster. Now, the only rationale for this is there's a much bigger population in North Down than there is in South East Down or South Down. But the same doesn't apply to Newry. The Greater Newry area has an equivalent population to the Greater Craigavon area, if you look at it based on the published information. Therefore, one would expect for temporary cutbacks to occur in the Craigavon area at the same rate they occur in the Newry area because the populations are the same. I'd really like to know, and my belief is that they don't seem to occur at the same level, and I'd like to ask why. I don't know why. I also want to pick up on something that Councillor Riley said, because I've been examining finances of the health service, and of the four GB and NI health services in the United Kingdom, only Scotland comes close to rivaling the expenditure per head of the Republic of Ireland. The Republic of Ireland is currently spending 1.6 times the amount of money per head of population that Northern Ireland spends. Now, it may not be spending it in the right way, but it's spending substantially more. and also running services in the south that we in the north avail of. I would say Scotland, it comes close only because they raise a special income tax in Scotland towards the NHS, something perhaps we should consider here ourselves. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Councillor Enright. And finally, Councillor McKee.
Thanks, Chair. We're getting in there. I was on that Zoom link as well with the South Down Trust, and in actual fact, it's not one surgeon they're looking at all. They're actually looking for five, because there should have been six, and there's only one left now. And that is quite worrying. If you're living somewhere in the Kilkeelanalong area, which is taking somewhere from an hour and 5 to an hour and 15 minutes to get to Craigavon. You know, it's easy to say if you're living closer, but that is an issue. And then you have anywhere A&E, the South Eastern Trust, the Down Patrick A&E, they're just working office hours, because they're working from, I think it's from 9 to 5, just for urgent service, urgent care services, and you must actually phone in advance to make an appointment. There's not very many emergencies you can phone in advance to say this is going to happen to you. So there's certainly a lot of things to be looked at there. And the other thing I believe is there needs to be some special incentive for to encourage these surgeons to come to Newry. You know, there needs to be guaranteed number of years and guaranteed amount of finance to encourage them, because it appeared to be, something was always said, if you talk a hospital down, these surgeons and doctors and nurses will most certainly head for Belfast Hospital, where they're practically guaranteed. But that should not be the case, but the importance of it, Daisy Hill, is for respite. So, Chair, I'll not say no more on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Harold. Apologies, Councillor McKevitt. I know you were in there first. The chat's going a bit mad tonight, so fire on.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. I want to bring this back down to the beginning of the motion, and the reason as to why I second Councillor Savage's motion. Removing the services doesn't remove the emergency from any patient, and I think there's not a councillor here or human being that has patient care at forefront to any debates or any decisions. But removing that services, it doesn't remove the emergency from the patient. It just adds time onto the patient's care. That's our constituents that we're talking about. At least an hour, right? The second one, so the ring fence of monies on the first point of the amendment by Councillor Savage and the SDLP, the ring fence of monies to make sure that we have the surgical expertise. That's one. Number two is the future proof of the services of Daisy Hill. It's paramount. And we have to start talking about how we keep that hospital open and the services provided for everybody. Henry Riley's point on the cross-border, it doesn't add up to me, because when you're going in with an emergency of any kind, they don't ask whether you're orange or green or black or white. It's an emergency no matter who you are. And number three would be more why we're calling for the meeting with the ambulance service and the new CEO of the Trust. It's because there's new faces beside the table. We need to get the answers, because we didn't get them from our meeting on Wednesday and Thursday. I attended both meetings and made my case on those. There was really viable questions and really important questions that weren't answered, and we asked that they be answered before Mr. Devlin left his post on Friday. So, I mean, it's really, really important that we get answers from our new CEO on the same questions, ring-fence the monies, and for the future-proof the services. Let's bring it back to the basics here of around this chamber this evening on what we're trying to achieve here. We're all singing up the same hymn sheet. We want to protect Daisy Hill, but more importantly, we want our patients to have safely good care. And in my opinion, and others around this table, they'll not get it if the ambulance service isn't available and the monies isn't available and the service isn't available. And if it's a temporary, they're proposing a temporary measure coming out in 3 weeks' time or less. So we need to have answers to all those and the emergency of those meetings to take place so we can get those for everybody.
Thank you, Councillor McKevitt. And apologies again for missing your name in the chat. Okay, I think that's everyone who wants to speak. So we're going to take a short break just to go and I suppose digest all of those amendments. It's 7:41 now. We'll come back here sharp at 7:50. Okay. That was good to go. Okay, so we've had a couple of amendments proposed. So the first one was from Councillor Hannah. So we'll take a vote on Councillor Hannah's proposed amendment.
No, but there's one seconder, so you do need to tell the amendment.
Okay, so it's not going to be a recorded vote, but it's Sarah, just because of the hybrid meeting, Sarah's going to take a roll call.
Councillor Andrew?
Against.
Councillor Brown's an apology. Councillor Burgess?
Abstain.
Councillor Burton? Councillor Casey?
Against.
Councillor Clark?
Against.
Councillor Curtin?
Against.
Against. Councillor Enright?
Abstain.
Councillor Finnegan? I think Councillor Finnegan had said her connection had gone, so if you look in the chat. Councillor Gallagher?
Against.
Councillor Gibbons?
Yeah.
Councillor Hanlon?
Against.
Councillor Hannah?
For.
Councillor Hart?
Against.
Councillor Pyle?
Against.
Councillor Larkin?
Against.
Councillor Lewis?
Abstain.
Councillor McGuinness?
Against.
Councillor Malone?
Against.
Councillor Mason?
Against.
Councillor McAteer?
Against.
Councillor McAvoy?
Against.
Councillor McKee?
For.
Councillor McKevitt?
Against.
Councillor McMurray?
For.
Councillor Mulgrew?
Against.
Councillor Murphy?
Against.
Councillor O'Hare?
Against.
Councillor O'Murray?
Yes.
Councillor Owen?
For.
Councillor O'Reilly?
For.
Councillor Rice?
Against.
Councillor Owen?
Against.
Councillor Savage?
Against.
Councillor Sharvin's off the call. Councillor Stokes?
Against.
Councillor Taylor?
Abstain.
Councillor Tinley?
Against.
Councillor Traynor?
Against.
And Councillor Walker?
For.
I have 6 for, 29 against, and 4 abstentions.
Okay, so that motion has, that proposed amendment has fallen. So then we have Councillor Savage's proposed amendment to vote upon. Councillor Mulgrew, do you want to come in on that?
Yeah, sorry, Chair. My connectivity is playing up desperately badly now at the 11th hour. Look, basically, I want my amendment to stand as it is, including the bit about the budget, because I think it's reflective of the annoyance and distress in the community at the current political impasse. However, I am happy to accept the amendments from Councillor Savage. In my opening remarks, I also talked about the ambulance service and the need for us as a council to engage with them. So, and I would take for granted that the chief executive of the trust, the new chief executive, would want to meet with us. So I don't have any issue with that. Regarding the recruitment, we have always been given the assurances that recruitment is done internationally and they do trawl internationally. So I don't perceive that being anything new. Obviously, anything that assures that, you know, that is the case, happy to accept. And the future modelling of services within Daisy Hill Hospital and beyond have always, I think, been key on cross-border service users. So again, I don't have any issue with that, but I want it to be an add-on to my complete amendment. And if that is the case, I'm happy to accept, as I say, I've already alluded to the ambulance service, which I think is key. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor McGrew. I'll just clarify, you're happy to accept Councillor Savage's amendment, but you want included, it is just added on to the end of your own motion?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And Chair, could I ask if that is to be voted on, that Sarah or yourself could read that out, because my connectivity is very bad and I'm not able to jump between, you know, up and down. So if they would just read that in its full state.
Sorry, could we just clarify how that book reads?
Okay, so can we get just clarification what that motion is going to look like?
Okay, Chair, I'm going to attempt to read this out from what Sarah submitted in the existing motion as well. So I think it should read, and correct me if I am wrong, this council expresses its complete opposition to the Southern Trust decision to temporarily remove emergency service surgery provision at Daisy Hill Hospital. We call on that decision to be reversed in effort to redouble to guarantee continued and improved service provision for people in this district. We further call on all parties to support the proposed 2022-25 budget, which will see huge increases in health spending across the North. We ask this motion be forwarded to the Southern Trust and the Health Minister. Council calls for any part of the future increased health budget to be ring-fenced for one unprecedented international procurement efforts to build a complete complement of surgical expertise. Two, the exploration and delivery of cross-border health solutions where an enhanced and expanded Daisy Hill would serve East Monaghan and North Louth, as well as Newry, South Armagh and South Down. And further calls for an urgent meeting between Council and the new Chief Executive of the Southern Trust and the Chief Executive of the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service to discuss the proposed temporary removal of emergency surgery at Daisy Hill Hospital.
Okay, Councillor Savage, are you happy with that?
Yes, sir, I'd accept that.
Okay. Councillor McKay, I see you have a comment in there. We need to go just on a vote on this amendment. Is this in regards to that?
Thanks, Chair. In regard to the amendment, we've got to remember that this Daisy Hill Hospital we're referring to tonight belonged to the National Health Service. It has not belonged to anything other, certainly not across the border. East Monaghan, North Louth is certainly not part of Northern Ireland, so therefore I can't see we are already inundated in our hospital without adding on to it. How can you make things any better by increasing the numbers to go to it? So certainly, Chair, I will not be in favour of that amendment whatsoever.
Okay, Councillor McKay, there's going to be a vote. You can record that in your vote.
Yep.
Councillor Taylor, can I ask you to keep it brief as we need to go to a vote on this as well?
Yeah.
Very brief, Chair. Listen, I'm disappointed. This has got slightly political tonight. We're all aware that there is cross-border cooperation in terms of operations and things like that, but to include a bit about serving East Monaghan and North South, without actually working out the concept of that and what the practicalities of it are, unfortunately, it dilutes what we were trying to do here tonight, which was to send a message about the current services in Daisy Hill. Further expansion and further cooperation, for to me, was for another day and further discussion, because, as I said, the practicalities of this has to be worked out. Harold's outlined, obviously, there's different NHSs, there's different financial models and things like that that have to be explored. And because of that, and I want to make it clear, we're fully behind Daisy Hill, but because of that, we're going to abstain on this, because I just feel it dilutes what...
Okay, that's really a good opportunity to vote.
It's important to get that message across, Chair. It's important to get that message, Chair.
Thank you. Okay, Sarah.
Okay, Councillor Andrews.
Four.
Councillor Brown's absent. Councillor Burgess.
Abstain.
Councillor Byrne. Councillor Casey.
Four.
Councillor Clark.
Four.
Councillor Kern. Just turn on the environment for me. Councillor Devlin.
Four.
Councillor Enright.
Four.
Councillor Finnegan. Four. Councillor Gallagher.
Four.
Councillor Gibbons.
Four.
Councillor Hanlon.
Against.
Oh.
Speaking for you. Sorry.
Councillor
Hannah.
Oh, against. I spoke at the wrong time, did I?
Councillor Hart.
Or.
Councillor Hyle.
Or.
Councillor Larkin.
For.
Councillor Lewis.
Abstain.
Councillor McGuinness.
For.
Councillor Malone.
For.
Councillor Mason.
Four.
Councillor McAteer.
Four.
Councillor McAvoy.
Four.
Councillor McKee.
Against.
Councillor McKevitt.
Four.
Councillor McMurray.
Abstain.
Councillor Mulgrew.
Four.
Councillor Murphy.
Four.
Councillor O'Hare.
Four.
Councillor Murray.
Four.
Councillor Owen.
Against.
Councillor Riley.
Against.
Councillor Wright.
Four.
Councillor O'Ann.
Four.
Councillor Savage.
Four.
Councillor Sharvin's off the call. Councillor Stokes.
Four.
Councillor Taylor.
Abstain.
Councillor Tinnelly.
Four.
Councillor Traynor.
Four.
Councillor Walker.
Against.
So I have 34, 5 against, and 4 abstentions.
Okay, thank you. So that motion has been carried. Councillor McGrew, do you want to come back in to sum up?
Sorry, Chair. Yeah, look, I appreciate everybody's support, or most people's support. As I said, this is a vital service and we all have to act together collectively to address it. I fully appreciate Councillor Riley in terms of his honesty, but I think he has missed the point in terms of the effect this will have on the ambulance cover for the entire area. And that is really why it was so important that we contact the ambulance. But listen, thanks everybody for the support. It's an issue that we all need to work on collectively moving forward to make sure everybody has the best healthcare provision. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor McGrew. So I have previously declared an interest on the next item. So I'm going to hand over to the Vice Chair, Councillor McGuinness, to chair the rest of this meeting.
Yeah, thanks, Cathy. This is another request for an emergency motion notice of motion, and again this requires a suspension of Standing Order 16.11, and we need to have a qualified majority vote in order to allow this to happen. That is 80% of those present and voting, and we will now call for a recorded vote. Okay.
Sorry, Chair, can I just ask the figure again there?
Yep.
80% of those present.
85.
It's 80.
I propose we. Have you already got a proposal of it?
Yes. Chair, could I just ask one other question? Why was it 85% for the last motion and 80% for this motion? Thank you.
It is 85 and then in the.
Sorry, Sarah, I haven't seen the type, but not on it, David, but it was an 80%. Sarah read it out as 80%, so it's a type mistake.
Standing Order 21.
Standing Order 21 refers to it as being 80%. Apologies, that's just a typo thing.
Councillor Andrews? Councillor Bert Brown is not on the call. Councillor Burgess?
Against.
Councillor Byrne?
For.
Councillor Casey?
For.
Councillor Clark?
For.
Councillor Kern? Councillor Dev?
For.
Councillor Enright?
For.
Councillor Finnegan? Four, yeah. Councillor Gallagher?
Four.
Councillor Gibbons?
Four.
Councillor Hanlon?
Four.
Councillor Hannah has declared an interest, yeah?
Yeah.
Councillor Hart?
Four.
Councillor Hoyle?
Four.
Councillor Larkin?
Four.
Councillor Lewis?
Against.
Councillor McGuinness?
Four.
Councillor Malone?
Four.
Councillor Mason is up the way. Councillor McAteer?
Four.
Councillor McAvoy?
Four.
Councillor McKee?
Against.
Councillor McKevitt's card in interest. Councillor McMurray?
Four.
Councillor Mulgrew?
Four.
Councillor Murphy?
Four.
Councillor O'Hare?
Four.
Councillor Murray?
Four.
Councillor Owen?
Against.
Councillor Riley?
Against.
Councillor Wright?
Four.
Councillor Rowan?
Four.
Councillor Savage?
Four.
Councillor Sharvin's absent. Councillor Stokes?
Four.
Councillor Taylor?
Against.
Councillor Tinley?
Four.
Councillor Traynor?
Four.
And Councillor Walker?
Against.
Okay, so that's 29 for and 7 against.
That fails. It falls. It's only got 70%.
Yes, Sarah, could you keep me right there on what percentage that is, please?
Yeah, so we have 36 voting and present and voting. And for that, the percentage required is 28, and we have 29 for and 7 against.
Yeah.
28.8, yes, yeah.
So we hear this motion.
Chair, could I ask, just before the motion's heard, could I make an inquiry from a legal point of view as to regards to the competency of the motion, given that there was a High Court hearing took place on Friday? The checks are actually ongoing at this stage because of the High Court hearing that took place, so would that not render the motion as being not competent?
Chair, if I can bring, sorry, Chair, if I can bring Nora Largy in from Belfast Legal Services, who's on the call.
Yes, Thank you, Chief Executive. Thank you, Chair. It would be my view that the motion is competent. Yes, there are currently legal proceedings being taken by members of the public, I believe. I'm not sure who those individuals are. They haven't been identified as yet. But the council has a clear statutory responsibility to deliver a function within its district that is impacted by the decision of Minister Poots. So, in my view, the motion is competent before the council this evening.
Okay, thanks for that, Nora. So we'll go ahead and listen to item 27, the emergency notice of motion on reports. And this has come in from Councillor Barra O'Murray. So, Councillor O'Murray, do you want to read out your motion there?
Yes, thanks a million, Chair. The motion reads, this council wishes to place on record its concern with the actions of Minister Poots relating to the withdrawal of checks required for the implementation of the protocol and his failure to comply with an international treaty and legal obligations negotiated by the British government with the EU. The council further notes with concern that this is likely to impact upon its ability to meet the legal obligations for which it is responsible relating to inspections at the ports. This council joins with Belfast City Council in initiating legal proceedings to compel the Minister and the British Government to comply with protocol requirements subject to any current derogations in the grace period. Acarja, the facts are clear. The protocol is an internationally binding agreement and it is essential to protect businesses and their workers from the worst impact of the hard Tory DUP Brexit. The Executive has a legal obligation to comply with the commitments set out in the withdrawal agreement and the protocol. These commitments include checks on goods at our ports. Edmund Poots made this very clear in the Assembly last year. Despite that, he engaged in a reckless and cynical electoral stunt, ordering workers to stop checks at our ports in contravention of domestic and international law. Now, thankfully, the courts have so far overruled Minister Poots, and this will no doubt come as a relief to public service workers who have legal clarity when political pressure is being brought on them to breach the law. Our businesses and farmers need clarity and certainty. That's what they want. The manufactured crises, sabre-rattling and stroking of tensions should stop immediately. We stand with councillors in Belfast City Council who tonight have initiated legal proceedings to compel the Minister and the British Government to comply with protocol requirements. And I hope that many of you in the Chamber tonight will join with us in supporting that call. Gura Míle Maoirg.
Okay, thank you, Councillor O'Murray. We have a few comments coming in here. Councillor McAteer, you're in there first.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Excuse me. Yeah, in support of the motion, I was to say, yes, that the DUP must be writhing with embarrassment at the ill-thought-out action of the Minister, who hasn't their backing, well, at least he hasn't the backing of all their members, perhaps some of them. But he did this before and failed, so it goes to prove this is more about floundering around for an Assembly seat than any real meaningful contribution to the problem, whether it's real or imagined. The fact that the UK government have refused to implement procedures that would enhance and give confidence in the negotiations currently going on between the UK and the EU is eroding the confidence countries have in the UK's ability to adhere to international agreements. And finally, just a question maybe through to Nora. What, if any, costs are potentially to be attributed to us instigating these legal proceedings?
Nora, can you come back on that?
Yes, Chair, happy to do so. So just to update members, Belfast City Council resolved this evening at a special council meeting to take legal proceedings against the Minister in respect of his decision. So legal proceedings haven't actually been issued as yet, but my understanding of the notice of motion that's before your council this evening relates to joining those proceedings that will be issued by Belfast City Council. So effectively, Newry Morning Down would be joining those proceedings in either probably in a supporting role as what would be called a notice party. A notice party generally is somebody that's involved in the proceedings but doesn't have direct responsibility for the running of the case. That would be between the applicant, which would be Belfast City Council, and then the respondent, which would be the Minister and perhaps the Secretary of State. I'm not entirely sure at this stage. But so your role, the role of Nuireann Mornin Down based on the notice of motion, would be a supporting role. So you wouldn't be the main party, could say, on the hook, for want of a better description, in terms of costs on this. There would be a cost to the council in being a notice party to the proceedings, but certainly the bulk of the costs would be borne by the applicant and the respondent rather than a notice party. So a notice party generally would sometimes submit evidence and submit some skeleton arguments, but the main bulk of the work is done by the two main parties, which, as I say, are the applicant and the respondent.
Thank you, Nora. That's quite comforting to hear that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Nora. I see we have Councillor Murphy into second Barrow Murray's motion there. Councillor Owen, have you a comment?
Yes, I do. Thanks very much. The DUP is totally opposed to this motion, as I'm sure it's no surprise, and the opposition of any Irish sea border. Placing regulatory checks within the internal market of the UK and impeding the free flow of goods between Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK. We are not yet experiencing the full impact of the Northern Ireland Protocol, as the UK government has introduced an indefinite grace period. The impact will be even worse when the grace period ends. The Northern Ireland Protocol and the Irish sea border are having a severe negative impact on the Northern Ireland economy. It is currently costing us 2.5 million every day, and that impact will increase. The action taken by the Agricultural Minister should not come as a surprise to anyone. Plenty of warnings were given in advance, and the lack of any significant movement from the European Union has meant that action had to be taken. Devolution Northern Ireland was restored based on the New Decade, New Approach Agreement, which committed to restoring Northern Ireland's place within the UK internal market. The implementation of the protocol is in direct contravention to that agreement. Do the parties supporting this motion still support the rigorous implementation of the protocol? Indeed, will they be happy to support even greater checks when the grace period ends, when we see the complete devastation caused by the protocol? Civil servants are still taking the time to examine the impact of the Minister's decision. Just how much ratepayers' money would the proposers of this motion be prepared to spend chasing a politically driven case? The DUP will not be supporting this motion. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Owen. Councillor Murphy, were you looking to speak on your second? Or?
No, I'm just happy enough to second it.
Happy to second. No problem. Thank you. Councillor Taylor?
Yep, thank you, Chair. Yep, on behalf of the Ulster Unionist Party group, and we won't be supporting this motion either. It's very clear that the protocol and the various mechanisms that are associated with that, including the checks at ports, are having a detrimental impact on businesses day and daily in Northern Ireland. It also raises issues from a constitutional point of view. It's madness, and it's a real affront to sovereignty whenever any sort of goods should have to be checked within an internal market of the United Kingdom. And I think it's probably deeply frustrating at times, the arrogance and the total disregard that has been shown to unionist concerns in this, because they are genuine. They're not manufactured, despite what some may say. We're listening day and daily to the impact that this is having on people, having on businesses in particular. I took part in a meeting not that long ago where there was maybe 50 business representatives that were outlining to us the daily costs, the impact that it's having on staffing levels in terms of increased need for that. It potentially has the opportunity to put many businesses out their smoke out, really. That's the best way of describing it, because of the impact that it's having on them. And I think the fact that we've seen the rigorous implementation, you know, that's been called for by many parties, although I did note over the weekend that some of those parties were trying to backtrack on that, but it's on public record that they called for the rigorous implementation without actually realising what the rigorous implementation entailed. It's having an impact, as I say, every day of the week on our country and our ability to do business. And we need a resolution to this issue as soon as possible. and I certainly hope that the negotiations based on the UK command paper proposals that there are can bring forward a speedy resolution to this, because this can't continue any longer. The frustration is continuing to grow within unionism, and as I said, the concerns that there are genuine. They're not manufactured. And I think it is concerning to say that we're seeing this tonight as a political means to try and further entrench, you know, the views that there are in this, without actually realising that it's not just impacting on the unionist community, it's impacting on everybody. It's impacting on everybody in this. And I wish there were a bit of realism and a bit of, you know, grab the opportunity to find a deal on this, because that's what we need to make sure that we, you know, find a resolution to this. But I just don't see that at the minute. I think there's too much entrenchment in terms of this protocol to find some sort of common ground on it. But we want it removed, and we want it removed immediately. This motion won't do that. All it does is further entrench what we have here at the minute, that's having a detrimental impact on our country on a daily basis. So we won't obviously be supporting this tonight.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Riley.
Thank you. Well, obviously I've been against the protocol, and people may find it surprising, but I was chairman of UKIP in Northern Ireland and advocated for the United Kingdom to leave. And even at that stage, I did recognise that we would have to have measures in place that would facilitate an open border and would protect the EU single market. You know, a lot of us recognised that. And there were legitimate proposals put forward. And even when the agreement was signed in Brussels, Michel Barnier stood on that stage and he said, this represents the absolute minimum rules necessary. Absolute minimum rules necessary. And they would be pared back and pared back as the operation worked. Now, how has it been interpreted? And I'm not blaming the SDLP, I'm not blaming Sinn Féin, I'm not blaming Brussels. I'm blaming the Department of Agriculture for Northern Ireland. It was our own civil servants that has interpreted this legislation in the most harsh form possible. It just defies belief. Whenever the agreement is so ambiguous, the protocol is actually so ambiguous in its use of language, that it could have been determined that the only checks relate to goods that are likely to go to the Republic of Ireland. And we could have used that to our advantage, and you wouldn't hardly have noticed that the protocol was in place. But no, they have to copper plate it and gold plate it and create all this hassle that it's doing at the present time. And the really obnoxious thing is Leo Varadkar went about Brussels and went about Europe threatening violence. Threatening Republican violence would reoccur if he did not get his backstop, his protocol. Now, that was obscene. That was obscene in any case. You know, who was going to start back this trouble? I don't see any nationalist here who would have went out and started bombing Belfast or Kilkeel or Newry because a 40-foot articulated lorry was getting an occasional check. It was absolute nonsense. And now we're all paying the price of that nonsense. But if the UK cannot come to an agreement with the EU, the British government must use the legitimate, totally legitimate means that are built into the agreement and trigger Article 16. And that will be the only thing that will bring Dublin and Brussels to their senses. Because they think they're on a winner. They think they've got their knee on the unionist neck, and it's a big win for them. And I said at the time, this is a win for them, but it's a pyrrhic victory, because all it will do will create more and more animosity within the community, and it will could eventually lead to what Varadkar talked about, but maybe not from the source that he talked about. So it's very, very important that people use their language moderately and not try to provoke a violent opinion and use that as a political lever to get protocols in place. So that's me. I'll definitely be voting against this. I want to see cooperation with the EU. I want to see cooperation with the Republic of Ireland and good, sensible arrangements in place. But what's happening at the present is absolutely crazy. You know, Barnier said it would be the absolute minimum rules necessary and paired as they went along.
what have they done now? The present commissioner is saying, no, we can't get rid of the European Court of Justice because Northern Ireland will have to implement swathes of EU legislation without Charlie Casey or Henry Reilly or anybody having the slightest say in how that's done. The Republicans and the SDLP might want foreign interference in this part of the country. I won't accept it, and we won't accept it as unionists. You can't, but foreign interference in Ireland will have to come to an end. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Reilly. Councillor Walker, you're in next.
Sure.
Councillor Walker, are you on mute?
Don't know, must be that mic there. Thank you, Chair. And I would concur with previous speakers, Owen, Taylor and Reilly, in that, and what I would say and what I would add is that the DUP will not take lectures from Sinn Féin or Nationalists about the minister's decision. Here we have a party in Sinn Féin who collapsed the Assembly for 3 years. 3 years! And threatened to collapse it again over the Irish language. So it's rich coming from Sinn Féin in relation to the protocol and the minister stopping the checks. Now, I think it was Councillor Reilly hit on it. When Brexit was voted on, we had the Irish government, we had other ones in the nationalist community, Republican community, saying that if there was a land border, there would be instability, there'd be the possibility of a return to violence. So there would. This Irish sea border has caused the instability. So it has. Not that I'm advocating that there should be a land border. There's technology now that I believe could have dealt with that. So I will not take lectures, and the Unionist people will not take lectures from parties like Sinn Féin, who collapsed the institution for 3 years and threatened to collapse them again. It's rich coming from them. You know, they can't criticise others when they've done it themselves.
Yeah, thanks, Councillor Walker. Councillor McKee?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And agree with all those who spoke before me there. Certainly, from the TUV point of view, I won't be supporting this notice of motion. I can actually see where where Republic of Ireland are actually panicking. I believe they're panicking because they see if these checks are withdrawn and businesses can free flow the way it should be across our boats, it would take away. They have actually increased, I think it's 2 ships in the Republic of Ireland to take the goods away from Northern Ireland. And that's as a result of this economic border in the Irish Sea. As some said before, there's already a border in on our land. It has been for over 100 years now. And long may that continue. But it's that border in the Irish Sea, an economic border, is creating a massive problem. And I don't know how many businesses we've listened to in the early stages of this, and there was nobody had a good word to say about this protocol and how damaging it was. And I don't have to go too far to know that one business, and it's cost them £10,000 every week to run their business, and over the year it works out about £500,000 to do that. And I can assure you it's not going to last much longer, and if we are still in a grace period, how much more is that not going to increase? And they will not accept it. They're not actually a Northern Ireland business to start with, so therefore they could remove themselves. And the last thing we want, because we are glad of all employment within Kilkeel. And I'm only saying that this is something that we can do very well without. And I totally agree with Minister Pitts with the withdrawal of his checks, and I just hope that that will continue, legal advice or no legal advice, that that's the way it will be. So thank you, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Councillor McKee. Councillor Riley, you're in with two more Cs there. Are they mistakes? Or?
No, you'll be glad to hear, Madam Chair. I will forgo those two comments.
All right, thank you. Final comment up there comes in from Councillor Lewis. Go on ahead.
Chair, sorry, Chair. I do apologise, Chair. I've made a comment in the box. Maybe it can't be seen, but I'll happy to give away to Councillor Lewis in the interim, but to say I'm not sure if I can or can't be seen. Apologies,
well,
Chair.
Apologies, Councillor McMurray. It's not coming up on my screen, but I'll let Councillor Lewis in first, considering I can see his, if that's okay.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor McMurray will bring you in last. Hopefully you can bring a nice calm head to the whole thing after we're done. Chair, look, I just wanted to say that I think that it's obvious that we're approaching an election in May, and that the electioneering that is going on around this subject is actually to some degree shameful and does a disservice to the politics, and not only the politics of Northern Ireland, but the politics of this council. We've been told that the checks haven't been stopped and that there's legal action and legal advice currently taking place on that. And rather than wait for that, we're just steamrolling ahead with this. We need to also be very careful of the language which we use around the subject. And it is fair to say that whenever this was being first discussed, there was European politicians, American politicians walking the length and breadth of every road and every laneway discussing where the border zigzags. We also had mass demonstrations from a party literally standing on the border with sledgehammers and talking about smashing down trade barriers and breaking down walls and wearing fancy dress and trying their best to stoke tension and bring this issue to the fore. But yet whenever unionists raise genuine concerns about the impact on trade and the difficulties that business and our constituents are having, it's just simply dismissed. If there was objections to trade going north and south, there should definitely be objections to trade going east and west. And rather than playing party political sort of games with this issue, we should be doing what's best for everybody, doing what's best for our local trade, and rather than trying to rub anyone's nose up the wrong way. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Lewis. That's all the comments on the motion. Hello?
Chair, Councillor McMurray, to speak.
Oh, sorry, Councillor McMurray, I forgot about you. You're still not in the chat. Sorry, go on ahead.
No worries. I apologise, I'm not sure what technical grounds there. Hopefully I'll be calm, but maybe not agreeable to Councillor Lewis, but there you go. Chair, I suppose really I have a few questions on where we are, so to speak, but it would be remiss not to pass comment on how we've arrived at this point. Some of them have been already maybe addressed, you know, about the legal ramifications from this motion being taken forward, given there's already court proceedings at work. Similarly, in that regard, it doesn't mean this motion is post-dated, given the legal proceedings already in place. And finally, will the instruction to cease checks from the Minister affect the operations of the Council at Warren Point Port? Chair, I live in Castlemaine. Castlemaine has a very big maze. There's a theory that goes that to get to the centre of a maze, you take the same turn, either left or right, at every junction. You might end up down some dead ends, but eventually make it to the centre. The objective, the key, is consistency, simplicity, and keeping in mind the end goal at all times. The DUP would have done well, they've hated this theory. Their inconsistency, they're too clever by half actions in Westminster, and the obvious internal leadership manoeuvres, we in NI have found ourselves in the position in which such a Brexit and the associated frictions have been required. Unfortunately, the only consistency they have shown in regard to Brexit is making decisions which has been detrimental to NI, to Northern Ireland. They have been so haphazard in how they have dealt with the scenario, to the point that any chance they have backed has been strategically wrong. Indeed, their former leader, not the most recent former leader, but the one before that, Mrs. Foster, even indicated that the protocol was something that would be could be good to work with and only undermined by an internal party politics. Rather than keeping in mind the objective of good governance and leadership with the aim of benefiting all our society, we are having to live with the consequences of the ill-thought-out actions of the DUP. They fought for Brexit. They aligned themselves with those who advocated the most extreme form of Brexit. They removed their support from those who were working to put in place a backstop for Northern Ireland, which had negated as many checks and negated any need for checks. Furthermore, they supported and courted someone who has implemented the very protocol which they now vehemently oppose. They have brought nothing by way of suggestions as to how to manage Brexit. Indeed, their website is devoid of any policies or indeed any mention of Brexit. It's as if they want to remove any forensic trace they have of their involvement with it. Yet they criticise any form of measures brought forward to go some way to ameliorate against the issues which have led to this point. The posturing of Putin calling for the cessation of checks, which he has instigated over 2 years, is befuddling. The court will rule how it rules, but that it took 2 years before concern over its legality was raised and that said checks are still taking place is telling in itself. I am quite happy to listen to concerns of unionists, but unions should be cognizant of the reasons of where we are where we are. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, Councillor McMurray. I see we have a final comment in there from Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I'll be very brief. I'm not going to repeat anything that the previous speakers have said. I just want to make a comment for the record that there was comments made about the group on the border, and that's the border communities against Brexit, and they're certainly not political, and they cross a number of political parties that support them, community groups. And there's people that live in the border area, and whatever, you know, visual representations they want to give to show people what this would do to the border area, that's up to them. But I just want to certainly correct that it's not political. And also the other comments about, obviously, we're approaching an election, and there's electioneering going on here. This motion wouldn't be in front of us if a minister didn't do a solo run. You know, it's not as if parties are bringing these motions in a couple of weeks out of an election out of the blue. The minister done a solo run that is in the interest of a party and not of the people. And there are obligations and an agreement there that has to be adhered to. And you're right, the courts will deal with it. And just a final question. Henry, I do offer £10 an hour maths lessons. You're completely wrong on your maths of 7 out of 29 if you're picking. It's out of the total. So it's 7 out of 36 and certainly is below 20%, 0.6 below it. So I'll send you my number after this if you want to take up the offer.
Okay, thanks, Pete. Just on your comment there, Councillor Riley, Sarah has actually sent you a message and she'll contact you after the meeting if you want to discuss. So that's all our comments on the motion. I'm just going to bring Barra back in to sum up before we go to a vote.
Inna, can you advise, what do we need to put a call in?
Well, can I sum up first and then we can go into...
Sure. Yeah. Technically, you would do the vote and then the sum up on the conclusion of that.
All right, so maybe we do the vote first.
Oh, sorry, Marie. Yeah, okay, so we go to the vote then first. Okay, Councillor Andrews.
For.
Councillor Brown is absent. Councillor Bridges.
Against.
Councillor Byrne? Councillor Casey?
Four.
Councillor Clark?
Four.
Councillor Kern?
Four.
Councillor Devlin?
Four.
Councillor Enright?
Four.
Councillor Finnegan? Councillor Gallagher?
Four.
Councillor Gibbons?
Four.
Councillor Hanlon?
Four.
Councillor Hannah had declared an interest. Councillor Hart?
Four.
Councillor Howell?
Four.
Councillor Larkin?
Four.
Councillor Lewis?
Against.
Councillor McGuinness?
Four.
Councillor Malone?
Four.
Councillor Mason had declared an interest. Councillor McTeer?
Four.
Councillor McAvoy?
Four.
Councillor McKee?
Against.
Councillor McKevitt had declared an interest. Councillor McMurray?
Four.
Councillor Mulgrew?
Four.
Councillor Murphy?
Four.
Councillor O'Hare?
Four.
Councillor O'Murray?
Four.
Councillor Owen?
Against.
Councillor Riley.
Against.
Councillor Rice.
For.
Councillor Wan.
For.
Councillor Savage.
For.
Councillor Sharvin's absent. Councillor Stokes.
For.
Councillor Taylor.
Against.
Councillor Tinley.
For.
Councillor Traynor.
For.
Councillor Walker.
Against.
So I have 29 for and 7 against. Okay, thanks for that, Sarah. So that motion has passed. I'll allow Councillor O'Murray to come in and just sum up.
Yeah, thanks a million, and thanks everyone for your comments. Jernot, just to reassure Declan that, yeah, we had it all worked out with Belfast City Councillors beforehand, that it would be them that would be taking the legal action. We Belfast Legal was part of that conversation as well, so we had all our ducks in a row on that. Alan, we are approaching an election, and as for it being shameful that we're discussing this, it honestly just fell on our lap. You know, we didn't go looking this motion, it just happened. Catherine, I get that you're opposed to a sea border. I get that David's opposed to a sea border. We're opposed to a land border. £2.5 million a day, I'm not sure that the economics of that are sound. A detrimental impact on businesses, that's not what I'm hearing, but again, we're talking to two different crowds of people, obviously. David, arrogance shown towards unionists. I don't see how a minister riding roughshod across everybody is me showing arrogance to unionists. I totally respect your view on this, David. I knew before I came here that you weren't going to like this, and that's fine. I'm not disrespecting you by bringing this. I'm not saying anything in the course of this to disrespect you or Billy in the DUP or Harold in the TUV, I think that's who he's with, and everybody else. You're all well entitled to tell your view, and you certainly have my respect and the respect of your party in how you articulate it. We do all need to be careful about the language we use at all times, and I agree that we need to respect each other a lot more than we do sometimes. So, Grandma Erica, thanks a million for those who supported the motion, and talk to us later.
Yeah, thanks for that, Councillor Murray. Just before we finish up, I see that there's a question in there from Councillor O'Reilly. Is this in relation to this motion, Councillor O'Reilly?
Yes, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I would like the Chief Executive to advise how many councillors have to sign a call-in motion.
Okay.
Because, Madam Chair, I believe this is political. And just what we've heard there, that this was concocted between Republican councillors in Belfast and Uri. Now, that doesn't seem to me like good use of public funds. It's political, Madam Chair. And certainly we will call this in if we possibly can, because this is a totally ridiculous situation. Why is Lorne not doing it? Why is the other councils that have ports not doing this? This is political, Madam Chair, and it's an absolute disgrace that anybody would go along with.
All right, Councillor Riley, we'll just bring Marie in there to comment.
15%. Sorry, Chair, it's 15% of the members in council, which is 41 members. So it's probably just to confirm. We could get Pete to tell us the 15%. It's just over 6.15. So, and there is, it's call-in procedures are set out within the standing orders at 21, standing order 21, and we can send you through that information, Councillor Riley.
Yeah. Well, Madam Chair, given COVID and the it's going to be difficult to get round the doors to get that signed, could we do it digitally under the present COVID legislation?
Sorry, Chair, do what digitally?
Submit the call-in.
I'm sure we can pick that up with you after the meeting, if that's okay.
I'm sure we would have to get our legal advice from outside Belfast City Council as well, making that point now very seriously as well. Thank you.
That's fine, Councillor Riley. We'll get the Chief Executive to pick that up with you outside the meeting. All right, folks, that's the end of the agenda tonight. So for everyone in the chamber, safe home, and
Sorry, Chair, before we close the meeting off, just in light of Councillor Riley's comments, we just want to make it very clear, maybe Nora from Belfast Legal wants to come in just to clarify.
Yes, thank you, Chair and Chief Executive. I think it's important to point out that I wasn't actually involved in any of the discussions in Belfast in respect of the decision of the Council today, and I wasn't involved in the discussion with any of the Sinn Féin councillors or anybody else who voted in favour of the proposal in Belfast earlier today. My role has been to advise Neary Morning Down in respect of this notice of motion, so I just wanted to be clear and put it on the record that I wasn't involved in those discussions that have been referred to by the proposer. I just think that's important that I put that on the record.
Okay, thanks very much for that, Nora.
Thank you.
And actually, I think Councillor Riley had left the meeting, maybe. I don't see him on my screen. But anyway, that's the end of the meeting, folks. So once again, stay home to those in the chamber, and we'll see the rest of you at the next meeting. Okay?
Thank you, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair.
Bye-bye.